The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, where sports betting lives. Live from Circa, we have Walls.
A numbers game 3.0, or at least. We're back in the studio, baby. Let's go, Gil. I'm excited to be here.
How you doing, man? You good?
Great. Was up at 3:30 this morning, ready to go with our new new digs here, getting making sure the whole crew's ready.
Did you bring an apple for the first day of school?
No, I didn't. I forgot something.
All right.
Miles brought donuts, though.
Oh, good.
That's the same thing,
right?
Apples, donuts.
I cannot partake. Congratulations to the Morning Line for their first show this morning. Well done. We will talk college football this morning. We will talk, obviously, baseball with Mark Borchardt. Mike Somich will join us to give us all his picks. Few tack on the first weekend of college football. Kelly and I will review some of our NFL team futures. I want to get in first segment, though, with obviously the U.S. Open and some never-too-early Heisman talk.
Yes.
Never-too-early Heisman talk. First, let's talk tennis, because it is, as we tennis hardos like to say, it is the business end of the United States Open. Second half of the round of 16 begins today. We finally had a losing day yesterday, the dreaded 0-1. Where Alexei Popperin.
What were you, 5-0 3 days ago?
Yeah, that was a monster day. It was a rather large day. Followed up with a nice plus 199 dog on Friday. Split washed on Saturday, and we went 0-1 yesterday. Alexei Popperin had three set points in the second set on his racket. He gacked it, and we knew the match was kind of over at that point. Tiafoe beats him. Today, there are two plays in tennis, one of which is completely out of whack and unplayable. The other one is playable. Karolina Muchova, who is one of our two Q2 futures plays at 10-1 preflop. She is now the favorite to win quarter number two. I put this in at VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every sport logs in their plays at VSiN.com/picks. That is for survivors. That is for subscribers and survivors too, by the way. It was minus 128 when I put it in on Saturday over Jasmine Paolini, who's trying to get to her third consecutive Grand Slam final. It is now minus 175.
Whoa.
So that's, you know, what is that? 47,
significant.
47 cents of CLV. I have to tell you this, though. When we get this kind of CLV, it hasn't really worked out that well. So hopefully this is the exception.
Okay. That feels like a lot compared to what we normally talk about when you say it.
We had one with Bedosa a couple weeks ago. That was 52 cents. We had one with Valinets, which was 47 cents. They both lost, by the way.
So not Paolini injury related or anything like that.
No.
Okay.
This is just the fact that I think besides Aryna Sabalenka pulverizing the tennis ball, no one's playing better than Karolina Muchova.
I mean, you've been her what, two or three times now at least.
I had her at Wimbledon to win her quarter. That didn't work out, but she's got two more matches to get to the prize here for Q2. So Muchova is unplayable, but Carolyn Wozniacki is playable today. I got her minus 113. That's at VSiN.com/picks. This I put in yesterday over Beatriz Haddad-Maia. That's at about, what is it looking at? Minus 123 right now. Don't let it get out of the minus 120s. Don't let it get higher than that if it happens to continue in that direction. So Muchova no longer playable today against Paolini, which is a match that starts in about 55 minutes. And then Wozniacki a little later today. That is a playable play against Beatriz Haddad-Maia to sort of update the futures that we have.
Yeah.
Muchova 10-1 to win Q2, two matches away there. Paula Badosa plus 550, one match away from winning her quarter Q3. She's got to take down Emma Navarro. That's tomorrow. And then Iga Swiatek four matches away, if you will, from winning the whole thing. So she's got a match today. She's got to advance to the quarterfinals as well. So the second half of the round of 16 at the U.S. Open today, the greatest show in sports, the greatest show in tennis for sure.
I love it. We talk about it every time seemingly, but man, I wish we had just more U.S. Grand Slams where you could actually watch this stuff later into the night. And a great weekend of sports with that combined with college football and everything like that. Football's back. Love it. Great tennis, great golf.
Great golf. Should we have the golf discussion now or later? Let's have it later.
Yeah.
Let's talk about golf next time because I have a big question for you.
Okay.
And the question basically is, let me tease the question. You ready for this? Did anybody know it was happening is the question. That'll be the we'll get Kelly's answer.
NBC, thank the betters out there. That's for sure. Thank the betters.
I just think it was one of these. We'll get into it. But it's like there's college football starting, right? A U.S. Open for tennis hardos. But essentially you have this. Well, I'll save it again. Well, I don't want to get into it. I want to talk about the Heisman. The never too early discussion on the Heisman first. So you have great college football. And we'll talk about some of the games that went on. Obviously, we'll give our thoughts on those. But the Heisman Trophy, since the year 2000. Since the year 2000, you have had really only a handful, not even a handful. You've had four non-quarterbacks win the Heisman Trophy. Four non-quarterbacks. The most recent of which was DeVonta Smith for Alabama in the pandemic year of 2020. So it's not something that occurs in the modern age of college football that frequently. Once every 5 years, if you're to take the sample size from the beginning of this century. And if you look at the Heisman odds board, you know, again, scattered, you know, sort of in there with nothing but quarterbacks, you will find, you know, the Travis Hunters of the world, right? At 25-1, Travis Hunter from Colorado. We spoke about Travis Hunter last week with Felica, which is to say that here's a guy who plays both sides of the football, which he did last year as well. We had this discussion last year about Travis Hunter, where it's like nobody's more dynamic in college football. Then he got hurt. Colorado wasn't any good. And we sort of decided, you know, the question I asked Felica was, okay, what does Colorado have to be,
right? Yeah.
Record-wise for Hunter? Let's say Hunter's not going to play as many snaps as he did this past week against North Dakota State.
Played all but two.
That's not going to happen every week. But even if he played a tremendous amount of stats and he was phenomenal, the conclusion was, and I sort of led the answer, which is Colorado has to get to a bowl, right? Minimum for that to even be a consideration. Travis Hunter's not winning the Heisman if Colorado wins four games again. So this weekend, just to throw it out there, if a non-quarterback could earn your bet here, and there was a few performances by non-quarterbacks that were great. Jeremiah Smith from Ohio State. Do you have a Jeremiah Smith ticket or just Felica?
Just Felica.
Okay. Six catches.
But he's part of the all backup Ohio State backups.
Yes, that's why
tickets
I asked.
That we have. Yeah.
Six catches, 92 yards, two touchdowns. He was great. Jeremiah Smith of Ohio State. Ashton Gentry from Boise State. I'm not sure if everybody caught this.
Yep.
Six touchdowns, 20 carries for 267 yards. I'll do the math for you. That's 13.35 yards a carry.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Six touchdowns.
I'm glad you said, did you catch that? Because I missed that one completely.
Yeah.
The one we're getting to, though, no.
Well, this is why I bring it up. So, Teteroa McMillan from Arizona. He ended last year. By the way, Arizona had one of these interesting years last year where they were never involved in any national title hunt, of course. Mm-hmm. But I say that sort of like casually because if you look back at their actual record, the losses were so narrow, right? They lost at Mississippi State by a touchdown. They lost to UW. Of course, UW ended up playing in the national championship game. They lost to them by a touchdown. And they lost at USC in what, you know, third overtime college football, quote unquote, third overtime, right? So those were their only three losses. And McMillan ended the year last year with just a flourish of stats. It was one of these things that sort of went under the radar nationally. And I'll raise my hand. You know, I was part of that, where he ended the season at Colorado, 9 catches for 107 and a touch. Utah, home game, 8 catches for 116 and a touchdown. At Arizona State, this was the big game, 11 for 266 and a touchdown. And then in the bowl game against Oklahoma, 10 for 160. So he ends the season, and again, Arizona kind of not on the national scene. And then he shows up here for game number one against New Mexico, mind you, I get it. And we'll have a couple weeks here early where Arizona's going to roll their opponent and the stats are going to be, you know, cartoon-like. But he ends up with 10 catches for 304 yards and 4 touchdowns. In the first half alone, he had 7 for 248 and 4 touchdowns. That, of course, with two quarters to go. So the question becomes right off the bat here after 1 week of college football, all right, does Teteroa McMillan deserve, would you consider a bet on him at 65-1 to win the Heisman? And then the same question applies to him as it did to Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter in Colorado was right. Colorado must get to a bowl game. Arizona has to make the playoff for him to get considered? Because all this is very subjective, right? Yeah. Why should Colorado only have to get to a bowl, but Arizona have to get to the playoff? But I actually think that's it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's exceeding on where you finished last year, right? So it is, like, we talk about that often with the NFL awards and coach of the year. How much do you need to exceed what you did the season before? So it would be a massive leap for Colorado just to get into the playoff, right? But then you're talking about Arizona possibly winning that conference. I don't know, man. I feel like all of these guys, whether we want to talk Sanders, Hunter, or the kid from McMillan from Arizona, they all feel like long shots still. Like, I think they're fun. I think they're fun early season hype.
But at 65-1, the competition is what it is, New Mexico. And it's only going to step up in the Big 12, Arizona Big 12 team that's just in. And you look at their schedule and you think, okay, what can they actually have a record that would get them to a 12-team college football playoff? The potential hurdles at Kansas State in a couple weeks after they play Northern Arizona, at Utah a couple weeks after that, after a bye, let's pencil in an L there. Later, they're at UCF, and second to last game of the year, they're at TCU. All of those are hurdles. So it's going to be very difficult for the Arizona Wildcats to get there, obviously. But, dude, he looks like a man amongst boys.
So this was one of those games I had on TV, on second TV on mute, and I felt like every time I looked over there, he was making a catch. And, like, at halftime, I was like, I got to pull up the box score. And it was, yeah, wow, these are major numbers.
And, of course, it should be noted, he also has to beat out his quarterback defeated to actually win this as well. 65-1, I'm thinking about it. Let's put it that way. A little more college football and Kelly's thoughts on the Tour Championship in golf next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 plus on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-play instantly accepted? Introducing Sport Trade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. -106 lines, instant in-play betting, and concierge player service. Sport Trade is perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Sport Trade live now in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, and coming to Arizona and Virginia this fall. This is huge. Download Sport Trade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. Let me just say this about Sport Trade. We've had the CEO, Alex Kane, on a Numbers Game before. Super smart guy. We'll have him on again this week, hopefully. Sport Trade is going to change the game. And again, now, it was one thing when they were just in New Jersey, but if they're going to be five states deep, that is huge. So if you are lucky enough to be in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, and coming soon, Arizona and Virginia, good on you. And you should absolutely take advantage. If you're doing this right, you should absolutely do so. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Mark Borchard standing by. I just want to read some of these. Mike Stacks, did they move you into Circa because you gave away your sushi place to upper management? I think all of the shows you've done, you always sit on the right side for the viewing audience. It's throwing me off. LOL. Congrats on the move to VEASAN Studio. You deserve it. This is a theme of these tweets this morning, that I'm on this side and Kelly is on that side. Kyle D, do y'all live in a suitcase with how often they have you moving locations? Congrats on the new digs. However, I will miss the people watching in the background at Gil's nonstop wrestling match with his microphone cord. Oh, you noticed that. Let's see. This is from Jeff Holdorf. We'll miss Kelly's comments on the D's Patriots. Congrats, guys, on the new digs. Thank you for that. Loser Larry says, switch spots. I like you on the right side when I watch TV. LOL. And then there's a few more of those. Here's one more. Michael Burns, can't comprehend Gil on the left and Kelly on the right. I'm flummoxed. I did not know this was going to be a thing this morning. But apparently more than one of you think that, like, we have the proper sides of the bed, I guess, is the sort of equivalent if you're talking. Never mind. All right, ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at BaseWinner, basewinner.com, and he hosts a BetUS baseball show each and every morning. It's Mark Borchard, everybody. How you doing, Mark?
Yeah, well, I'm doing good. It's an interesting day. Labor Day is always a wild, kind of a wild day, just like scheduling spots, and there's a couple scheduling spots that are weird to me today.
Explain that. Where are those?
Well, I think that Baltimore game is an interesting game, and they're priced in the market at -365. I don't have a problem laying the wood if it was like a natural game, but like Baltimore's coming back from Colorado. They're starting like an early game. It's an early-ish game for them. I don't know. It's hard to get behind Chris Flexen, though, right? Right, Gil? We talked about him on the third quarter show, and the guy's the worst pitcher in baseball. But I think that's a real weird scheduling spot, that Baltimore spot. I think that that A's game's kind of a weird, just weird times. Even the Padres, who I'm going to play today, it's kind of a weirder time, Gil.
You said you're playing the Padres.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Padres today. I'm going to play them with the Yankees in a parlay. I think it pays about +140, I think, something like that. So I like this Padres team really, really good. I don't think they're quite as good as the Dodgers offensively, but the bullpen's superb. They've got the best K-minus BB percentage in baseball since August 1st. And I think that's notable when you're going into the playoffs to take a look at how these bullpens are doing. Because they just play such a big role when you come to playoff baseball. You know.
Well, who else besides the Padres today did you play?
I'm going to go with the Yankees. I'm going to put them. That's going to be the second leg. I think Gerrit Cole, he's got some good numbers, 87% plus stuff, 92nd percentile in the strikeout percentage, last 10 median. I think he's hitting his form. And God, that Yankees offense, we talked about this. The two guys, I don't know if I've ever seen this where they're 1-2 in baseball. OPS, base runs created, however you do it, you've got Judge and Soto right up there together.
So that's a Padres-Yankees parlay, just to clarify?
It is.
Okay.
It is, Gil.
Anything straight, or is that the only base winner play today?
I don't know. You know, it's kind of a tough, like Labor Day is one of those days, like July 4th, Memorial Day. I tend to stay away from the card a little bit. I think if I had to play one straight game, I'd probably go with the Dodgers. I don't think there's anything wrong with Flaherty. He's looking at 88 percentile from a strikeout percentage. He's really suppressing hard hit contact. And then Erod, there's like mixed in the market. There's guys who really like Erod. And then there's me who I really don't like Erod. And you look at his stuff plus, it's in the fourth percentile. You look at Erod's last 10 median strikeout percentage. That's the fourth percentile. And then one thing about the Diamondbacks, I don't think that this has been priced in the market correctly is Marte is out. And he's one of those cryptic injuries type thing. He's got this ankle problem, and there's really no definitive timetable. They're saying he's going to come back on the 6th of September, but, you know, they said he was going to come back on the 9th of August, back on the 25th of August. So there's this cryptic injury with Marte, and I think he plays a really big part in that Diamondbacks lineup deal.
Mets have won 4 in a row. Cubs have won 6 in a row. The Braves now clinging. I mean, they looked like, right at one point, the Mets overtook them just for a brief moment for that third wildcard position in the National League. We have exactly 4 weeks, precisely 4 weeks, 28 days left in the Major League Baseball season. Now the Braves, who had gotten out to a 4-game lead, I think, since then, for that third and final wildcard position in the National League. They were even, you know, folks were even talking about them overtaking the Phillies for the division now when they got to that 4-game lead over the wildcard or the wannabe wildcard field, those on the outside looking in, if you will. Now it's a 1-game lead over the Mets. 3 over the Cubbies, 5 over the Cardinals. You have remained steadfast by your numbers that the Braves are still a huge favorite to get there. How do you feel now?
Yeah, I have them 74%. I mean, that starts with the best XFIP in baseball, and that's a big deal. You know, those games against Philly were fairly close. If you look at, like, last night's game goes into extra innings, they had the lead on the Thursday night game, and even the Saturday game where they didn't score, it was a close game until I think maybe the seventh inning. So I think this Braves team, while they're, I don't know, offensively challenged, because, you know, when you lose Riley, when you lose Acuna, you are offensively challenged. But even so, they're probably top 10 weighted runs created plus, especially in August. And I think that that's a serviceable number. But that pitching is really good. Best bullpen by my numbers. And so, like I said, I have them 74% to get.
Let me I just want to ask you this, and I know this is, you know, this is more nuanced, but in terms of folks who are still making bets, if they haven't yet and they want to get into some of these markets, make missed playoffs, they're still betting divisions. How much of the remaining schedule strength do you factor into your projections? Because I will tell you that while I, you know, I've made a monthly baseball bet, most wins every single month thus far this year. For those who missed it on Friday, I have the Diamondbacks in the month of September at 25-1. But one of the things that I didn't care as much about in the month of September is your remaining strength of schedule, because I, just from doing this for so many years, and I can't really put my finger on it, but the nature of that doesn't really manifest in the same way to me as it does the other 5 months. Do you view it that way at all?
It's a good theory. I don't know if you can, for the way I model it, like game by game, I put it in a Monte Carlo simulation. So I've got to come up with ratings for each team, but it presents somewhat of a philosophical question in September. As far as like you're rating a team like Pittsburgh, right? Are they going to use schemes as much as they would say in
July? Right.
And so that's a really good. I believe in that philosophy. It's just quantifying it. You'd have to go down the team, and you can certainly do it with your run rating going into the simulation, whether it be defensively or offensively. But it's a really good idea, Gil.
Well, just from a macro level, it's the point of. Also with a, you know, with an ever increasing playoff format, right? Like if you're locked into the number, just let's say hypothetically, if you're locked into the number 5 wild card in the final week of the season, how does that club play that, right? Does a team like the Diamondbacks, who are chasing not only a wild card, they're in the wild card position, but they're obviously looking to secure that, but they're chasing the division as well. They're chasing number 1 seed, right? They're chasing all these things. They will be highly motivated to go through it to every single game the rest of the way. So I think there's just more factors. There's a lot more in the mix in the month of September than just a cold. Let's say we were in May and we're just like, who's got the heart, you know, who's got the toughest strength of schedule, who's got the easiest, that kind of thing. So I just think it's something for folks to keep in mind when they're making their bets here down the stretch. There's a little bit of a different alchemy. Last thing, we got 30 seconds. We're 4 weeks out of the postseason. Can't wait. You're still your numbers when you get to the postseason, what is it saying? Who's in the World Series per your numbers?
Well, I like the Dodgers. Just kind of pull that out to get there, to win the league championship series. I've got them at about 45%. They're just so deep, Gil. And you look at their bullpen, the way they've been able to use that bullpen. And of course, I'm banking that Yamamoto and Glasnow are going to come back. So that's a big caveat. And that's a big question.
Mark, the answer is the Royals versus the Diamondbacks. I'm sorry. Just for some of us who have those bets. Thank you, Mark. Always great to see you, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Gil. Take it easy, man.
Mark Borchardt at Base Winner. Kelly and I back with some NFL. All of our week one bets and futures as well. Next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
College football already underway, and a special numbers game investigation reveals that the NFL is kicking off this week. So there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Make this football season your best ever with full VSiN Pro access to our daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, data, top-rated betting systems, 24/7 video analysis, plus our updated NFL betting guide with postseason, or I should say post-preseason updates for every team, new insight on players to watch, week one betting systems, and of course more best bets. Grab our football season special. Get full VSiN Pro access from now through the Super Bowl for just $175, or start a monthly subscription for just $9.99. See why VSiN Pro is your ticket to a winning season. Don't wait. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to take advantage of these offers and start betting smarter today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Cannot wait for the NFL season. Cannot believe that it is here. And again, yes, we'll get into the routine of things not only here. This is our last Monday before guessing lines begins.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yes, we always Let's start go. Guessing lines between week before week two. It will be Kelly and me. Mishpucha can't, we couldn't work it out with the Mishpucha. Not the Mishpucha's fault, not me, not our fault, no one's fault specifically, just couldn't be worked out. But guessing lines will begin week two, this coming Monday, but that is preceded by the first Megapod again, which should be out tomorrow because Kelly says I'm capable of hitting a link and making it happen. So,
hey, I didn't know about your setup, okay? Don't blame that on me. I forgot about that part. That is important. I did want to make One more shout out. We had our great crew over at the D.U.'s helped us, and they might be back. Crews are still a little bit up in the air right now. But Matt Larry, Sean McCollum, the great legendary Sean McCollum, Chris Foster, excellent work over there. But, man, it is just funny how you circle back here and just some of the great people we get to work with again. I got Isaiah Wrinkle right now back there TDing this morning, who was the great technical director and graphics operator during our primetime action run. You've got Brendan Mendez doing graphics back there.
Brendan Mendez.
Who used to do graphics for Gil like 6.5 years ago. Awesome to have Brendan back on the team. And then Darnell on audio been killing it this morning. It also helps him in a little bit easier job when you don't have slot machines going off in the background.
Are Matt, Sean, and Larry still in the closet back there at the D?
But we're running shows out there. Yeah, they're doing some work out there.
Right. Hey, guys. Sorry back there.
They
miss you.
They're just hidden. They don't have to be bothered by anyone. They've got an industrial strength air conditioner back there
for them. True that. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us as the emperor of collegefootballnews.com. A treasure trove of college football content. It's also courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Pete Futak, F-I-U-T-A-K. It is Peter Futak, everybody. Hey, what's happening, man?
We're men of a certain age. You mentioned the NFL. I don't know. Yesterday, just all day, felt like we should have been watching Giants, Eagles, and then get the Pat Summerall read for Murder, She Wrote, and then, you know, Lendl versus Wielander in the U.S. Open final, and then I might start thinking about doing my homework. I mean, Labor Day Sunday, it should be NFL yesterday. I know it's a setup, and I know we've got like 6 months of this, but just yesterday was like, yeah, let's go already. Come on, get this thing moving.
You did something off air that I would like to out you on, because it is like, you know, we wait all off season for football, both pro and college, and you're already complaining about the week two college slate already.
Yeah, it sucks. It's a bad slate. Well, look, yeah, last week, and I know you always dog me because I'm correct in my being a Power 5 snob. Well, last week I was an FBS snob because you had one loss by the FBS versus the FCS, and they were killing these FCS teams. So you had a whole slew of really bad games and also really, really easy winnable games betting-wise, because pretty much if you took all the FBS teams, you're all right, because over the long haul of it, they were just annihilating these FCS teams. This week, you just got bad. You have Texas and Michigan, which kind of makes everything all better. But you have a lot of other games outside of that, because out of the 80 games we got this week, there's not a whole lot to love. I mean, you have like South Carolina, Kentucky is our primetime game on Saturday night. It's a little lacking this week.
That, Pedro, is why we do a little something we like to call bet on these, because without that,
hey,
I totally get
money's just as good as Alabama money. We're all good here. Money's money. Exactly.
Let me ask you the go-to question. What is your single biggest takeaway or takeaways from week number one?
It continues. We're killing time. It's Georgia and Ohio State. Just they're going to slump. By the way, I got the Ohio State final score exactly right. So they're just going to kill everyone. Georgia's going to kill everyone. I mean, Clemson's good. You asked off air, is it just Miami? Well, you know, in the ACC, well, maybe. But Clemson's still got a whole lot of very, very, very good players. And Georgia just stuffed them like Clemson wasn't going anywhere. Clemson can still make the college football playoff. I mean, they still could be win the ACC or come in second and get into this thing. And again, Georgia just looked fantastic. So it's a long college season now, because the national championship's not till January 20th, and there's a whole slew of things that can happen. But the takeaway still remains the same, is that, you know, it's, I mean, I know everyone's going to still like Texas and everything, but it is Georgia, it is Ohio State, and that's it. But the other big takeaways is, like, USC is now a player again. You know, if you want to look at, you know, Notre Dame's a player again. Notre Dame's probably in it now after that win of Texas A&M. If you look at their schedule, there aren't more than two losses on there. So all of a sudden, we're talking on September 2nd, and this thing's already starting to take shape a little bit here.
I was going to ask you what was more significant. Maybe there's no way to answer the question between Notre Dame's win and USC's win as it pertains to a college football playoff. You could have it that. But I'm also curious about Miami and the ACC. It was not a great weekend for the ACC, but it certainly was at the top, if you will, for Miami and Cam Ward, who looked fantastic against Florida. Hard to tell what's, you know, where Miami good and Florida bad meets in that spectrum, in that continuum. But what about that? What was the most significant win when you look at it? Was it USC's? Was it Notre Dame's? Was it Miami's from a conference perspective in their case?
It was USC, because Notre Dame can, if you look at the rest of their schedule, even if they lost to Texas A&M, they probably weren't losing again until, you know, they dealt with Florida State later and then USC at the end. But USC winning this, because again, think of it this way. This is where it goes to Michigan, Texas this weekend, where I do think the loser of this is probably going to end up being out, because when you think of a college football playoff in general, it's three losses is not going to get it done. You got to go 10-2 at maybe 11-2. You got to only have two losses there. And USC, now you look at their schedule, they got a little bit of a defense there. There's not a lot there on that slate that they can't handle. They got Penn State. They do have Notre Dame. So again, they might lose twice. They're not going to lose three times if that defense is the real deal. That was the win that they had to get over. And for LSU, they're kind of hosed now because there's a whole lot of traffic in front of them. So for Notre Dame, though, now they're just lock them into the five seed. It's going to take something catastrophic for them not to get there. But going back to your Miami question real quick, missed that one. I just kind of thought that Florida was going to rise up at home and this is going to be, oh, we're SEC kind of thing. Nope, Miami looks fantastic. And at the very least, you know, again, you win the ACC championship, you're probably the three or four seed. And right now, Miami, Clemson, and that's pretty much it because the rest of the ACC kind of look eh. But let's see what Florida State does tonight against Boston College and go from there.
All right, we talked about this earlier in the show, Heisman. Since the year 2000, the only non-quarterbacks to win the Heisman Trophy, 2005, Reggie Bush, 2009, Mark Ingram from Alabama, 2015, Derrick Henry from Alabama, and then 2020, Devonta Smith from the Crimson Tide at wideout. Those are the only four non-quarterbacks to win the Heisman Trophy. Obviously, McMillan for Arizona. Teterrell McMillan had just an unbelievable first game.
Yeah, I think he just scored again. God, that was great.
You know, and I was talking about him at 65-1, but obviously there was other examples that happened in college football. Jeremiah Smith for Ohio State looked fantastic. Ashton Gentry for Boise State did. Could this be a year? Like, do you think that, and I didn't even mention, which I did in the first segment, but I didn't mention Travis Hunter. The theory being, Colorado's got to get to a bowl. Arizona's got to get to a playoff. Like, these teams have to do a certain, they have to get to a certain threshold for these guys to be considered. Do you, as someone with a Heisman vote, buy into that?
Considered, yes. Winning it, no. And there's two different things here because, again, we can't make a Heisman winner necessarily. It's got to be something, you know, bizarre. It's Jalen Milroe, and he showed it again. Western Kentucky, it might win Conference USA title, and they might be just weird enough that they could get that number 12 seed in the college football playoff. And Alabama ripped through. You asked about the big stories this weekend. Alabama's good, too. They ripped through it like it wasn't even there. In this offense, in this Kalen DeBoer offense, Jalen Milroe's stats are going to be just unbelievably amazing, and he's going to have the big games, and he's going to have the big moments. So just kind of look at this list here of Heisman guys you have on this list. It ain't going to be Dylan Gabriel. I think Oregon's going to lose a bunch of times, and Carson Beck, he's not going to have the numbers. Cam Ward's going to be kind of fashionable, maybe. On this list, Milroe, after next week, it might be Quinn Ewers, because if he lights up the Michigan defense, but it's Jalen Milroe. If you can get that 11-1 right now, that's going to go up fast.
Wow, Futek resolute on Milroe. You have been all off season, though. I must give you that.
I liked him last year. Yeah. I thought he should. I mean, it had to be Dean Daniels. But you know, if you really broke it down, Milroe actually deserved it last year, even though it was Daniels, obviously. But this year, it's all there for him.
FSU and BC tonight as we close out week one. How do you see this? Blowout?
You hate it when I say this, but stay away because we don't know. We don't know exactly if Florida State's going to come back roaring. I kind of just sheepishly like Boston College to cover, but not by a whole lot. Florida State could come out and say, you know what, that week one thing was just a bad day, and they just come out and roll tonight. So again, stay away, but kind of like Boston College a little bit.
Peter Futek from College Football News. Maybe if FSU can learn how to tackle, that'd be a start.
That'd be nice.
That'd be a start.
Thank you, Pedro. Appreciate it.
Later, guys.
Coming back with Mike Somich. Somo bombing his picks. Multiple sports next right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.